السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم، نحمده ونصلي على رسوله الكريم، أما بعد. I'm not saying this because it's become fashionable to say, but whilst I do quite a bit of public speaking on the radio, in masajid and other platforms, I really feel uneasy speaking in this kind of a program on this kind of a topic in the presence of mashayikh of the caliber of the guests that we have here this evening. There are many unique things about this masjid, and the one unique thing is here, the imams instruct the chairman. They tell him what to do. So as much as I made all types of excuses, I was instructed, and I was left with no choice. Anyway, consider this a curtain raiser, just a few thoughts of a scattered nature before the true mashayikh and the true friends of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala will address you with their knowledge, their wisdom, and most importantly, their spirituality. You know, in English they say, life is all about relationships. Life is all about relationships. The reality of our human relationships is this, that every relationship without exception, is based on a motive. The person with whom you are in a relationship with wants something from you, and you want something from them. Your parents, why did they want children? They wanted an heir. The name must continue. Someone to make me proud. I want a kid who will fulfill the ambitions that I never got to fulfill in my life. Someone who will inherit whatever I have accumulated. Someone that will help me in my old age. Your parents love you, but there's a motive in that relationship. And you have a corresponding motive. You need someone to take care of you, to bring you up, your rock of support. If you look at the most intimate of relationships, the husband and wife relationship, it's also based on motive. You want physical satisfaction from each other. You want to procreate and have children. You want emotional support. You need a companion in life. You need somebody to accompany you on the journey of life. If you look at the student-teacher relationship, it's also based on motive. The teacher wants to confer the knowledge he has so it can perpetuate. The student wants to seek the knowledge that the teacher has. The teacher maybe needs a salary. The student needs a certificate. He needs a degree. If you look at friendship, it's also based on motive. You require somebody to seek counsel from, somebody from whom to take advice, somebody with whom to have lighter moments. Even if you look at the peer-murid relationship, it's based on a motive. And like that, every other relationships except two. The relationship that Allah has with us is not based on a motive. Allah says, O my servant, everyone wants to love you for their sake. I love you for your sake. Everyone wants to love you for their sake. There's a motive in it. I love you for your sake. I don't need you. I don't need anyone in the entire humanity. Yet I love you for your benefit. Allah says, Ya Abdi, O my servant, Inni laka muhib, I love you. When are you now going to start loving me? I love you without any motive, without needing to love you. I love you for your sake. When are you going to start loving me? The second is Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam's relationship of love with this ummah and every ummati. His position is already established. لِيَغْفِرَ لَكَ اللَّهُ مَا تَقَدَّمَ مِنْ ذَنْبِكَ وَمَا تَأَخَّرَ عَسَى رَبُّكَ أَن يَبْعَثَكَ مَقَامًا مَحْمُودًا. He does not need us. Yet, the last words as he's departing from this world, اللهم أمتي أمتي. In the Akhirah, اللهم أمتي أمتي. In Surah Duha, when Allah says, after Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is somewhat depressed and despondent, Allah says, وَلَسَوْفَ يُعْطِيكَ رَبُّكَ فَتَرْضَى. I will give you so much, O Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that you will become happy. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam responds and says, O Allah, I will never be happy until the last ummati from my ummah has been entered into Jannah. Allah loves us for our sake. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam loves us for our sake. When are we going to start loving Allah and His Rasul for our own sake? And that's my message. Allah has blessed us with a season. We normally look at Ramadan in isolation. We should not. It's a season that has started with the commencement of Ramadan, of Rajab. A season of change. A season of coming closer to Allah. A season of coming closer to the Sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And it doesn't require as much effort and sacrifice as shaitan sometimes makes us think it requires. Imam Qurtubi rahimahullah mentions that there was one scholar who once said, I always thought that I must first love Allah, then Allah will love me, until I saw the sequence of the words in the Quran, يُحِبُّهُمْ وَيُحِبُّونَهُ. Allah loves them, then they start loving Allah. So Allah already loves you. As per the hadith, the Qudsi, Allah is saying, I'm just waiting for you to take a baby step. I'll come running to you and embrace you in my embrace of love. The same scholar then says, I always thought that I must be happy with Allah and then Allah will be happy with me, until I saw the sequence of the verse, Radiyallahu anhum waradu an. Allah is happy with them and then they became happy with Allah. He said, I always thought I must remember Allah, then Allah will remember me, until I came across the verse, وَمَا يَذْكُرُونَ إِلَّا أَيَّشَاءَ Allah. You cannot remember Allah except if Allah is already remembering you. Then he said, I always thought that maybe I must repent, then Allah will turn to me, until I came across the verse, ثُمَّ تَابَ عَلَيْهِمْ لِيَتُوبُ. Even when you make tawbah, you only make tawbah because Allah already loves you and grants you the ability to turn in repentance. So the love from Allah is flowing. It's like the network connection, right? We know what we went through this afternoon when there was no lights. The connection is there, but if you're not switched on, you can have up-to-date, paid-up Wi-Fi, uncapped, latest device, SIM card, everything in order. But if you don't switch on, you're not plugged into the network. So the network of Allah's love is there. It's flowing, it's brimming, it doesn't drop, it doesn't suffer an interruption of service. It's for us to plug in. This is the season. This is the season. And it is for that reason that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, Allahumma barik lana fi Rajab wa Sha'ban wa ballighna Ramadan. That oh Allah grant us barakah in Rajab and Sha'ban so we can prepare adequately in order to maximize in Ramadan. You don't pitch up on the day of the comrades and say, I'm ready to run. You can only run the comrades if you've prepared 6 months in advance, if not 12. The true saints, the day after Eid, they already start preparation for the next Ramadan. Weak people, we need these 2 months, Rajab and Sha'ban. The time is now. The time is now to become the beloved of Allah, to reignite our relationship of love with Allah and His Rasul, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And the love of Allah is so unique, the famous narration. You love your wife, you don't want anyone else to love her. And she loves you, she definitely doesn't want anyone else to love you. Even if it's permissible, 2, 3, 4, you know. Sometimes you even become a bit jealous if your spouse shows too much affection to the children. You start thinking, hey, you know what? I mean, not your husband. Is it not because of me that the children came into existence? That's the nature of human love. But when Allah loves you, when Allah loves you, then Allah calls Jibreel alayhi salam and says, oh Jibreel, I love this person, so you love this person. And then Jibreel alayhi salam announces to the angels, that Allah loves this person, I love this person, you start loving this person. And when the angels start loving you, they roam the earth in a way that they leave the effects of their love in the hearts of people, and naturally people start inclining towards you and start showing love and affection towards you. You see, the true saints, they don't have any of the apparent attractions that will draw people to them, but it is that love of Allah that has been transferred into the hearts of people that manifests in the attraction and the magnetic effect that those saints have on the hearts of people. That's the nature of the love of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. And how do you become the beloved of Allah? Again, related to the season, taqwa. In awliya'uhu illa al-muttaqoon, the true friends of Allah are those who have taqwa. I was saying in the Jummah talk the other day, that the greatest thing we can do in Rajab and Sha'ban after, you know, fulfilling the obligatory acts is to ensure that we stop sinning. You see, sin has become almost second nature. We sin out of habit. That's why even in Ramadan, the devil is chained. It's the 27th night. It's the time of tahajjud. You're in the masjid. You can't get holier than that moment, more virtuous than that moment, but you're still gossiping about someone else. Sin has become a habit. The greatest preparation for Ramadan is to give up sin. When you give up sin and you repent from your sin, you cleanse your heart. When you cleanse your heart, it becomes more receptive to the love of Allah. And when you have the love of Allah in your heart, when you have the love of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in your heart, then what more can we desire? What more can we desire? A few points. I don't want to take too much of time. How do we attain the love of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala? Allah himself says, فَاذْكُرُونِي أَذْكُرْكُمْ. The more you remember me, the greater my love for you, the greater my remembrance for you. So we should remember Allah in terms of verbal dhikr, but we should also remember Allah in terms of dua, supplication, reflection, contemplation, introspection. How many of us on a daily basis talk to Allah? Talk to Allah. Not that we make dua out of routine, a few duas that we have memorized, or we just say Ameen because the Imam has lifted his hands and is uttering a few duas. We talk to Allah. You know, nowadays the lifestyle coaches are saying you must have a gratitude list. You must write down all the bounties you have in your life. Our mashayikh have always been telling us that every day contemplate over the bounties that Allah has conferred upon you. The bounty of Iman. Nuh alayhi salam, imagine what went through his heart. Wanada Nuh ibnahu. He's calling out unto his son, come onto the ship. His son had other ideas. Ibrahim alayhi salam, how much he tried with his father, Azar. His father had other ideas. Nabi sallallahu alayhi salam went right to the deathbed of Abu Talib and tried. But it was not decreed for them. It was decreed for you and I. What a great bounty of Allah. Sheikh Saadi rahmatullah alayhi used to say, every time I breathe, I need to thank Allah twice. Once because Allah has allowed me to breathe in, and once because Allah has allowed me to breathe out. Every breath you take, you're indebted to Allah twice. If we've never appreciated this bounty, then Corona ought to have made us appreciate it. You know, those who suffered, and may Allah protect us all and uplift this virus in its totality, they tell you, you feel like you're drowning on dry land. You're gasping for air. That is when you appreciate that ni'mah and that bounty of being granted the ability to breathe. Something that you do without even thinking, without any effort. Something that you do without any payment, either in advance or retrospectively. That's why Sheikh Saadi rahmatullah alayhi said, every time I breathe, I am indebted to Allah twice. And Dawud alayhi salam, as we know, said, oh Allah, how do I show gratitude to you? Because even when I verbalize my thanks, I need to use all the abilities that you have given me. And Allah says, Dawood, now you have understood what it means to be grateful. You can never be truly grateful to Allah. It's a token of appreciation. So remember Allah and the bounties of Allah. It will create the love of Allah in your heart. The second, إِن كُنْتُمْ تُحِبُّونَ اللَّهَ فَاتَّبِعُونِي. The Quran says, tell them, O Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, if you love Allah, then follow the sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. If anything this last year has supposed to have taught us is how fragile we are, how temporary this life is. We ought to have always known that. But this is the greatest wake-up call that Allah has given humanity in a very long time. And unfortunate are those of us who don't take that call, who don't take heed to that call. The time to play around, the time to be complacent, the time to procrastinate is over. Who knows if we'll see another Rajab? Where did we ever fathom that in Ramadan we would be separated from the masjid? Where did we ever fathom that the world would be brought to its knees in the way that it has over the last year or so? It teaches us that only Allah is in control. Life is temporary. All your intellect and technological advancement is fragile. Allah is working on a different system. You don't know what is around the corner, what is about to hit you. So do whilst you still have the ability to do. I always quote this incident of Abdullah ibn Umar radiallahu anhuma, which Mufti Taqi Sahib makes mention of. He was traveling with his students. He saw a grave. He suddenly halted. He got off the conveyance. He performed 2 rakats of salah. He was known to meticulously follow the sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So the students were curious. Did Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam stop here? He said, no. Is there somebody special here? No. Why? He said, when I saw the grave, a thought came to my mind that as much as the occupant of this grave may want to perform 2 rakats of salah, they no longer have the opportunity. Whilst I'm alive, I still have the opportunity, but I don't have a guarantee that I'll reach my destination. So I halted immediately and I performed 2 rakats of salah. Did Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam not tell us, read every salah as if it's your last? Consider every Rajab as if it's your last. Every Sha'ban as if it's your last. Every Ramadan as if it's possibly your last. And if you have that mindset, that approach, turning to Allah in tawbah and repentance, reconnecting with Allah, reigniting that relationship of love with Allah, giving up sin, then this inshallah will be the best Ramadan of our lives. Otherwise, the Quran sounds out a loud warning on the day of Qiyamah. Allah will say, أَوَلَمْ نُعَمِّرْكُمْ. Did I not give you life? There's only one bite at the cherry of life. What did you do with your life? Did you not have enough time to contemplate? Was this corona not a loud enough warning for you? وَجَاءَكُمُ النَّذِيرُ. The Quran says, Allah will say on the day of Qiyamah, did I not say in warnings? I send the prophets, I send the books, I send the scholars, I send the virus to remind you about the reality of life. Why did you not take heed to the warning? We have to take life seriously. We have to understand the time is now. So one is to remember Allah. The other is to follow the sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. The hadith tells us, hadith al-Qudsi, Allah says, you come close to me via the nawafil. After fulfilling the obligatory acts, don't stop there. Get involved in nawafil. It brings you closer to Allah. Then the scholars say, when you are tempted to do wrong, give preference to your love for Allah over your love for that temptation. Initially, it will be difficult. But Allah says, I am in the hearts of those who break their hearts because they resist temptation. When you are tempted and the temptation is severe and you resist the temptation, it breaks your heart to resist the temptation. That is when Allah enters the heart. Contemplate, look at the heavens, the earth, the greatness of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. In seclusion, make dua. Allahumma inna nas'aluka hubbak wa hubba man yuhibbuk. That, oh Allah, we ask you for your love and we ask you for the love of those who love you. And the last point that I wanted to mention there, adopt the company of those who already have the love of Allah. There is definitely contagion, no debate. When you adopt the company of those people who love Allah, يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا اتَّقُوا اللَّهَ وَكُونُوا مَعَ الصَّادِقِينَ. When you adopt their company, that love will rub off. It has to. It's the system of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. I leave you with these thoughts. When you become the beloved of Allah, then life becomes heaven on earth. And when you depart, you came into this world crying, everyone was smiling. You leave, they will be crying, you will be smiling. That's what happens when you become the beloved of Allah. And then when you go into the akhirah, as the ulama explain and they teach us, Allah will say, Ya ayyatuhan nafsul mutma'inna. O contented soul, O the soul that was contented because it had the love of Allah. Irji'i ila rabbiki radiyatan mardiyya. Come now to your Allah. Allah is happy with you and you are happy with Allah. The greatest objective in the life of a Muslim ought to be to attain the pleasure of Allah. Even Jannah, and I say this repeatedly, the ulama tell us, why must you desire Jannah? Not for the damsels or the rivers or the palaces, because in Jannah you will be the closest that you can be to Allah. The pleasure of Allah, becoming the beloved of Allah, is the objective and should be the objective in the life of every Muslim. If you become the beloved of Allah, our mother Aisha radiallahu anha says that Qiyamah will be so short for you, it will be like performing the 2 rakats of sunnat before Fajr. You know, those of us who come late, the imam is already in the farad namaz and you finish your sunnats before he gets into the ruku of the second rakat. That's how short it is. Qiyamah will be made so short for you. Death will be a pleasure. It will be like pulling a strand of hair from dough. You'll leave this world smiling. Your grave will be expanded. You'll enjoy the delights of the fruits of becoming the beloved of Allah. And then come the day of Qiyamah, you under the arsh of Allah. You in the company of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, entering not only Jannah, but Jannatul Firdaus. Say Ameen, brothers. May Allah enable us to use this season of Rajab, Sha'ban and Ramadan to become His beloved, to reignite our relationship of love with Him. And may Allah make us from amongst those who are fortunate enough to be considered His friends and His beloved in this world, in the qabr and in the akhirah. Wa sallallahu wa sallam wa baraka ala nabiyyina Muhammad.